The Truth News Network. When you think truth, you're thinking, and you're thinking TNN. The Truth News Network. And your master of the facts is Dan Newman.
Well, what is your truth today? Is yours the same as mine? That's something that is just absolutely crazy going on all around us, folks. Hi there, I'm Dan Newman back with you. There is no such thing as your truth or my truth. The only thing there is truth about everything in our lives. And it just seems like they haven't figured that out in Washington, D.C., doesn't it? Well, truth is front and center now. And it's not because of any impeachment stuff going on. It's because the light is shining on our government and exposing all of the evil that is there. Thank God that is happening. And one chapter of this that we want to speak about today is the FISA process. Now, unless you live in a barrel, you've heard in numerous conversations the word FISA. FISA actually stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. FISA legislation regulates the U.S. government's ability to spy, and that's according to Attorney William Barr, it's not surveil, it's actually spying. The government has, does, and will spy on American citizens who may be communicating with folks outside the U.S. That kind of surveillance is governed by a special court called the FISC, F-I-S-C, which stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. So why would this even be necessary? The FISC court is a U.S. federal court established and authorized under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978 to oversee requests for surveillance warrants against foreign spies that are inside the U.S. by federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies, kind of like the FBI, the CIA, the DNA, and the NSA. Such requests are made most often by the NSA, National Security Agency, and the FBI. In 2013, a top-secret order issued by the court, which was later leaked to the media from documents culled by Edward Snowden, required a subsidiary of Verizon to provide a daily ongoing feed of all call detail records, including those for domestic calls, to the NSA. The Edward Snowden matter brought the FISA process to light for the very first time and thrust it to the forefront of intelligence agencies' process operations. This was the very first time average Americans knew anything about this process. What's spooky, folks, it had been going on since 1978. Remember Orwell's book, 1984, and Big Brother? Well, Big Brother started his business in 1978. So how does FISA work? Each application for one of these surveillance warrants, called a FISA warrant, is given to an individual judge of the court. The court can allow third parties to submit briefs if they want to interject themselves in the process. So when the U.S. Attorney General determines that any emergency exists, the Attorney General may authorize the emergency employment of electronic surveillance or spying before getting that necessary authorization from the FISC court if the AG or their designee notifies a judge of the court at the time of approval and applies for a warrant as soon as practicable, but not more than 7 days after approval of such surveillance. Now, there's a law, it's 50 U.S.C. Code 1805, that regulates that. If one judge of the court denies an application, the government's not allowed to make the same app to a different judge of the court, but they can appeal it to the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court of Review. Such appeals are rare. The first appeal from the FISC to the Court of Review was occurred in 2002 in a resealed case 24 years after the very establishment of the court. So it went 24 years and no problem with any of it until 2002. Also rare, the FISA warrant request is hardly ever turned down. Listen to this. During the 25 years from 1979 to 2004, now that's still a long time ago, in those 25 years, 18,742 warrants were granted. That seems like a lot. And you would think for spying authorization on American citizens in the United States that would be exorbitant. And you would also think, that court's not going to let that happen. Only four of those 18,742 warrants were rejected. This is important. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Fewer than 200 requests were modified before being accepted. In other words, they didn't reject them, but they said, for us to consider, you got to change this or change that. Almost all of those occurred in 2003 and 2004. The four rejected apps were from 2003, all four of them. They were granted in part after being submitted for reconsideration by the government. Of the applications that had to be changed, few were before the year 2000. During the next 8 years, from 2004 to 2012, there were over 15,000 additional warrants granted, and another seven were rejected. Over the entire 33-year period, the FISA court issued 33,942 warrants. Only 12 were denied, a rejection rate of 0.03% of the total request. This total does not include the number of warrants that were modified by the FISA court. So, let's just put that in perspective. That many applications for warrants to surveil American citizens. And you think about who's making those applications. The FBI, the National Security Agency, the CIA. If you're like me, and especially in the environment in which we find ourselves regarding our U.S. government, do you feel a little sleazy about that much opportunity for possible corruption in this system? It's pretty easy to see how the process could be corrupted for partisan and covert purposes. In fact, I can't imagine another reason for it being interrupted. The fact that FISA corruption is so easy to implement has given pause to numerous of those on Capitol Hill. They're both concerned with the obvious actual and attempted electronic intrusions into multiple U.S. companies and even the government itself. The most recent of such alleged FISA abuse occurred during the, and I don't even need to tell you, the FBI Trump campaign investigation. It allegedly began with a FISA warrant submitted to the FISC, or the FISA court, for authorization to surveil the communications of Carter Page, who was an associate in the Trump campaign. Uproar ensued about alleged wiretapping of then-candidate Donald Trump shortly after a visit to Trump Tower by former NSA head Mike Rogers. Speculation is that Rogers, during that meeting, and this is before Trump took office, in that meeting informed Mr. Trump that his office was being surveilled, his headquarters at Trump Tower. The next day, the very next day, the Trump campaign moved its headquarters to New Jersey. Unless and until President Trump releases to the American public the FISA warrant apps filed by the FBI to obtain that warrant to surveil his campaign and other FISA warrants, we're not going to know the specifics of the basis for that surveillance. It's expected for those to be released at any time. And this is after the Horowitz IG report that was just released. It's uncanny how partisan are the comments and analyses of the findings of DOJ Inspector Horowitz as he published in his 500-plus page report just a few days ago. He was investigating FISA abuse that impacted and affected the Trump campaign in this long investigation, including the Mueller investigation subsequent to President Trump's election. It depends on whom you speak or listen to as to whether the Horowitz findings vilified the FISA process during the FBI investigations or supported it. Shortly after its release, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana made this request to the president. This is a quote from Senator Kennedy. The Inspector General report showed the FBI was willing to do anything in order to spy on Carter Page, including making 17 significant inaccuracies and omissions. The American public deserves to know everything the FBI did, Kennedy said in a statement. He continued, I'm asking President Trump to declassify the entire record so that Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Wray can release it to the American people. If the FBI wants to continue the employment of rogue, politically motivated agents, then let the public read the entire record. As does Senator Kennedy, numerous Americans, both inside and outside of Washington, feel the structure of the court gives the government an open season on surveillance of Americans, spying. All Americans feel that way, that apparently have and could going forward be for partisan and political purposes spied on. Remember this, Only 12 of 33,942 FISA warrants filed in its history did the FISA court deny. Only 12. So, should we fix FISA or should we dump FISA? In just a moment, we're going to turn to a U.S. senator and let you listen to his thoughts on that. And I'm going to make my recommendation, too. That's just ahead at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry,
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Your nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
The Truth and Dan Newman goes together like beans and rice, brats and kraut. You and the future. TNN, the Truth News Network.
The U.S. House of Representatives recently voted against an amendment to the FISA Section 702 proposed by Representatives Justin Amash of Michigan and Zoe Lofgren of California. FISA Section 702, which was inserted as an addition to the 1978 FISA Act in 08, was intended to be used solely to monitor communications by foreign nationals outside of the United States. In recent years, Edward Snowden's revelation showed that Section 702 provided the government with a legal cover to collect data communications between millions of us here at home without warrants or probable cause. According to a National Security Agency transparency report from 2019, in 2018, communications by U.S. citizens or residents were queried 9,637 times, over 2,000 more queries than the previous year. Now, what that means is somebody can just pick up the phone if they have access to listen in, and they're going to listen to your telephone conversations. It's as simple as using a software program that when a certain word is said during a conversation, that conversation from that point forward will immediately be recorded. That's just one example of how Big Brother is out there already doing what we're talking about today. The Amash-Lofgren Amendment would have withheld funding for Section 702 in the budget for the fiscal year 2020. If it had passed, any request for Section 702 funding by governmental bodies like the NSA or the CIA would have had to make an express commitment to not use those funds on the warrantless collection of U.S. citizens' data. That's key, folks. 47 organizations, including the ACLU, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and FreedomWorks, urged Congress in a June letter to pass the amendment to, quote, significantly advance the privacy rights of people within the U.S. Two Republican representatives, Chip Roy of Texas and Jim Jordan of Ohio, rose to defend the amendment during the 10-minute debate that was afforded. Just 10 minutes. Despite these endorsements, the change was struck down 252 to 175, with over 100 members of each party voting against it. Unfortunately, as ordinary American citizens, we find ourselves in a bit of a conundrum. It's hard for us to say, yep, we support FISA and we want it to continue, or no, we think government with FISA has too much unchecked opportunities to abuse the FISA system, so we want it abolished. We just don't have enough factual information so that we can make an advised decision. Here's what one legal writer, Mark Walk, stated about whether we should keep or abolish the FISA process. It seems to me that since Watergate, our politics have been almost totally transformed, with the left feeling ascendant despite occasional setbacks. At the same time that the left has taken over education and most other public institutions, the intelligence agencies, and of course the FBI in particular, have assumed a huge role in domestic intelligence. It's true that this is partly the result of the global war on terrorism and FISA's application to it, but I believe it was happening anyway. He continued, saying this, "The current abuses that we're seeing coming to light attributable to the Obama administration are very scary. However, given that the left feels no constraints about our traditional liberties, is it possible that FISA actually gives them a bit of pause, slows them down a bit just to hide what they're doing? If they were to have 8 years with no constraints," he said, "with the total and enthusiastic cooperation of big data companies and the media, what might that result be?" This is what worries me. Would the abolition of what is undoubtedly unconstitutional lead to Big Brother? His reference there to George Orwell's book, 1984. Meanwhile, Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, a libertarian at heart, but he's a Republican, has long questioned the validity of the FISA system in regards to the constitutional protection of the rights of Americans. According to the senator, the process in its purest forms should work correctly. But there's a problem. People with partisan opinions and perspectives of its purposes is the problem.
You know, I've said for a long time that the origination of the Trump investigation into his campaign was something that was an abuse of power. It was an abuse of power by the Obama administration and the intelligence communities. And I think really what we need to have is a better system where if you want to investigate someone, you have to go to a real court in public and ask for a warrant. What we've been using are secret warrants. These are FISA warrants. And basically the judges simply rubber stamp them. And I think the idea that our intelligence community would be investigating any campaign, Republican or Democrat, is repugnant and a danger to freedom of speech and danger to free elections to have our intelligence community. So people often talk about the Russians being involved in our election. I'm equally alarmed by having the intelligence community interfering in our elections and deciding winners and losers. So my hope is that we get to the bottom of this. I've proposed to President Trump several reforms. One of the reforms I have is that the FISA database, that no one should be allowed to look into it for an American's information without getting a warrant from a judge in a real court, an Article III court. I think the president could actually do this by executive order, and we've advised the president that he should look at the abuse that happened to him and his campaign and try to make it into generalized reforms. And the one generalized reform would be having a real warrant before anybody looks in this database and to try to prevent anybody from using the database for political reasons. I mean, James Comey's been politicizing things from the very beginning. I think he did more to politicize and damage the FBI than anyone's ever done. First off, by having a big press conference saying they weren't going to indict Hillary Clinton. You don't have a press conference to say you're not indicting someone. That actually did politicize it and actually hurt Hillary Clinton. But then he leaped from hurting Hillary Clinton by publicly saying he wasn't going to indict her, which did hurt her, to then investigating Trump in the middle of a campaign. And he couldn't keep his mouth shut. I mean, the FBI shouldn't be out there talking about politics. They shouldn't be having press conferences talking about politicians. And so, you know, James Comey will go down in history, one, as being a sanctimonious partisan, but two, as being the guy who really did more to damage the FBI than anybody else in the history of the FBI, including Hoover.
That's Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. So let me ask you this. Should we fix the process hoping for good results, or should we simply axe it? Once again, rely on a prosecutor presenting evidence to a judge that's good enough, the evidence, to justify a surveillance warrant? There's far too much corruption at the DOJ and the FBI right now. It's been exposed in the last few years, and I don't feel comfortable recommending continuation of the current FISA process. Should we maybe blow it up and restructure it and come back later? I don't know. Too many people in powerful positions that impact FISA investigations have been revealed to be grossly politically biased. And I don't care who you are. Your bias is going to determine decisions that you make. It will impact those. And for all of those implicated in the Trump collusion investigation by Robert Mueller and the investigation results turned over by Michael Horowitz, it's obvious people are human. People are going to act on their emotions. Unless and until the intelligence agencies have shown us their commitment to strict adherence to not just the letter of the FISA warrant applicant and subsequent warrants, but to the FISA process itself, I recommend that FISA be ditched and we return to that 250-year-old process to obtain warrants. Very simple. Convince a judge with facts and evidence of any case when presenting a sworn warrant application for a surveillance warrant. If facts and evidence justify such a warrant to that judge, then the judge can say, go get them. If there's meat on the bone, justice will be served, and the personal lives of Americans will once again be protected from Big Brother or surveillance abuse, who once gains power, seldom ever relinquishes it. That's going to wrap it up here today, folks. Some more stuff in D.C. that we've got to take a look at. We just can't continue to sit back on our hands and hope for the best. It's us, the American people. And Washington works for us, the American people. Speak up and be heard. And stay here. More information on the way at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
How do you deal with the left when they're in your face? With facts. TNN. The Truth News Network.